I'm Dr. Kimberly Manning.
And this is Dr. Ashley McMullen. And you're listening to the Human Doctor Podcast, where we explore the human side of medicine, along with teaching, living, learning, and all things in between. Using the power of storytelling, conversation, and connectedness.
Hey, we're two dope academic internal medicine doctors, but we ain't your doctors. So if you perceive anything we say here as medical advice, no, it ain't that. Also, the things we say, they only reflect our brilliant Black woman magic mind and not our employers.
You could have been anywhere, y'all, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate you. Let's go.
This meeting is being recorded at the end of another season.
Girl, we made it.
Was that season three?
Yeah, this is season three.
Time with you, it's so happy and good that I just can't keep track of.
You're absolutely right. If I wasn't the one uploading them, I probably wouldn't know either.
Can we just pause and give a shout out to Ashley McMullen on the production? Come on.
Thank you. You've been crushing it.
How you and Mahalia doing today?
We doing good. Anticipating a busy week, but I'm feeling good. I got up early, got some stuff done. I'm solid. How about you?
I am also solid. It's interesting. I woke up this morning and even yesterday, I just felt good. I felt peaceful and I felt good and I didn't feel worried about anything. You know, I miss my father. I do have these moments where I'm like, I can't believe my father is not alive. That's crazy. Yeah. But I feel good. I'm so constantly telling people and telling myself, like, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. But it's also okay to be okay. It's really okay to like be happy. Mm-hmm. And today I am very happy. I'm happy. I feel good. I have a amazing husband. I have a good friend that I get to talk to and it happens to be recorded for other people to hear. I have a job I love. I got up and had a good workout this morning and I happen to have the privilege of a body right now that can do some things that aren't promised. Mm. And I just feel really happy today. And I feel like that's okay.
Yeah. Ooh, I really love that. That's something I've been doing too when I work out is thanking my body for allowing me to get through it. Because I know that's not going to be the case forever.
Yeah. And to not do that is kind of ableist, right? So I've been trying to really work on thinking about what a privilege it is to be able to do something like a plank or to be able to squat or to be able to have my team take the stairs. You know what I mean? It's not just about how cardiovascularly fit you are. Mm-hmm. It's like about the ability, and ability isn't just physical. Like when I got up this morning and worked out, I was like, you know what? Sure, my body can do this workout this morning, but I also want to do it. I feel mentally ready to do it. The factors in my household allow me to do it. Like all these planets that have to align and just pausing, you know, I brought in the planets because you know how you is.
I was about to say, I have something to share, but
I was making that a segue for you to planet. When the planets align, you know, to be able to do certain things, that is a privilege. So I'm happy today.
I love that. The planets and planetary science makes me happy too. I did finish my book, Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. And I got a strong co-sign from Dr. Gurpreet Dhaliwal, who also—
Oh my gosh, Gurpreet, I'm gonna have to text Gurpreet. Did he hear it on our podcast?
Yes. And he validated me.
Man, you know what? You know what? Shout out to Gurpreet because he is the most low-key supportive supporter of all the things of people I know. Yes. But he does it in such a low-key way. He'll just like slip a little something into a conversation that lets you know he sees you and he's following what you're doing. I hope he's so embarrassed by this.
But I got another book, which I think is very complimentary to Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. And it's called A Briefer History of Time. Stephen Hawking. So he's known for his work, A Brief History of Time, which is probably a little dense for me, but they actually compacted it to A Briefer History of Time, complete with great illustrations. And I'm really digging it. So,
okay.
Also from the library.
Do you remember on Schoolhouse Rock, You kind of young, so you might not remember all the
I know
Schoolhouse.
Schoolhouse Rock. I'm not that young.
Oh no, but do you remember the one called Interplanet Jenna? She's a galaxy girl.
Oh no, sorry. I must have missed that one.
Oh Lord, Interplanet Janet. I think that's what it was.
Love it.
Yeah.
Tell me something that you learned or want to share.
Okay, so what I learned is that I recognized a gap in my medical knowledge. I will spend this week reading more about therapies for type 2 diabetes. I just can't keep track of them. And so, diabetes therapies, I'm coming for you. I think it's a good idea to acknowledge when you have gaps in your knowledge and when it's some things you need to read and learn more about. And, you know, this is my 21st year on the faculty at Grady, but I definitely recognized when I was in the clinic last week that I was just like, man, you know what? I should know this better. I should know this colder. And I will, because I'm smart. I can learn stuff.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to close it out with your favorite storyteller.
Ashley,
Yeah,
I didn't know you were speaking today.
that's funny. That's funny. But we all know that it is Dr. Kimberly Manning. And I, for one, am excited to spend this last episode of the season just basking in your storytelling skills. So, before we get started, I gotta know, what's the what?
Well, I am going to put some pressure on you. It's another choose your own adventure day.
Man, I should be ready for these things.
Choose your own adventure.
Whew, okay.
So you have two whats.
Okay.
The first what is adjacent.
Okay.
The second what is destiny.
Ah. Okay. I have to go with Destiny
Oh, okay.
because number one, shout out to Destiny, who is a
Oh,
hospitalist over at
hey,
the Philly VA.
Destiny. Shout out to Destiny. Okay, cool. So you chose Destiny. Great. So I'm going to take you back to my chief year at Case Western Metro Health in Cleveland. And one of the things that quickly became apparent to me when I got into my chief residency was that I had more time. I wasn't as busy, and I realized that my social life needed some work. And by my social life, I mean my romantic social life. When I was getting ready to leave Cleveland, you know, I had a few offers for jobs in Cleveland, but I had gotten this job offer here in Atlanta. I was really excited. And part of the reason why I agreed to come to Atlanta was not just because Grady Hospital was my dream job, but also because I really believed that I was likely going to be unpartnered most of my adult life. I did not ever imagine myself, you know, getting married or, you know, having a long-term partner or having kids. I got to Atlanta and, you know, I actually met a couple of people like right away and kind of went on a few dates. But like always, you know, it ended up being sort of disappointing and mostly disappointing because I was really raised by some amazing people. And when people were not nice to me, I kicked them to the curb. And I started to realize that, like, you know what? I think that my expectations are just so high. So, you know, I was just kind of going on and sort of living my life. And I decided that I would be married to Grady Hospital. I got a condo that was probably about a mile and a half away from Grady. I would just work all the time. I took on everything. I was just like, you know what? This is going to be my ministry. This is going to be my marriage. This is where I want to be. And I was really very happy with that. One of the beautiful things about being in Atlanta is that my best friend that I met on the first day of medical school, Lisa, lives here as well. And that was another happy part of my time here. Lisa knows a lot of people, is very outgoing, and often it's like, hey, you know, you need to get out. You can't just be at home reading, and you can't just be at Grady all the time. You need to get out and about. You're never going to meet people. I'll just be like, yeah, whatever. I will add as a quick sidebar, I had kind of been going out with this guy for about, you know, maybe about a month or so right before what I'm about to tell you. And, you know, he just didn't follow through on things he was supposed to follow through on. He wasn't always nice to me. And I had just kind of cut ties with him. And at the time that I cut ties with him, he told me that I'll probably always be alone to my face. And I better not call him when I realize what I did.
Wow.
Yeah, so that kind of stung at age 30, you know what I'm saying? So there was a night where I had to work at Grady. And we used to have clinic into the evening back in the day, child. I don't even know how I took the job, but yes, we worked into the evening. So that morning I went and I got a haircut and I had to come straight to work my afternoon and evening shift at Grady. So picture, you know, how you, when you leave a haircut, you got all those little shards of hair on you. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my work clothes on. I worked the clinic and I had promised Lisa that I would meet her out after I got off of work. Clinic ran late. It was like almost 9 o'clock when I was leaving Grady. And at that point, I was like, okay, what I'm getting ready to do is go this little mile and a half home, and I'm about to be on my couch and I'm about to watch some HGTV. And as I'm getting ready to head home, I realized, I was like, well, I need to just tell her that I'm not going to come. So I try to call her. It goes straight to voicemail. Now, this is before text messages, y'all. This is like 2002. Text messaging wasn't really a big thing, and you just called people. But every time I tried to call her, it went straight to voicemail. What's going on? So I was like, okay, I don't know if other people are meeting her. I don't want to just, you know, leave her high and dry. So I'm just going to drive over there, tell her to her face that I'm going home. And then so I drive over to this place, the Martini Bar, and I pull into this parking lot and the guy's like, $5 parking. And I look into my purse and woefully all I have in there is like $4 and like 25 cents. No. I look through my white coat. I'm looking through every, all I got is that. But the man looks at me and he goes, oh, my sister, you're fine. And I was like, I will bring you the money back. And he's like, no, that's okay. So I walk up to the Martini Bar. And as I walk up, the first thing I see is this line of humans snaking all the way down the street, curving around the corner. I'm telling you, every Black person between the age of 25 and 35 in Atlanta, Georgia, had chosen to come there that night. And I was by myself. And let me tell you what I have on. I have on some chinos from the Gap. I tried to put a little, like a little wedge heel on that was in the back of my car. And I had put my little denim jacket on. And I tried to put some earrings on to look a little bit cute. But this line, I was just standing there thinking, I just want to go home and rest.
Yeah.
I don't even like crowds like that. I mean, y'all, I have good social skills, but I am really an introvert. It was so overwhelming. I'm like, I'm not getting in that line. So I am keep taking my phone out, my flip phone, y'all. And I keep trying to call Lisa and it keeps going to voicemail. And I can see her standing on this patio, yucking it up, laughing and having a good time. I'm thinking, God, you know what? She don't need me to stay here and wait for her. But I was like, but I'm her best friend. And that would be really whack if she's waiting for me. Mm-hmm. So as I'm huffing and puffing on the sidewalk, this man who's the bouncer turns around and looks at me and he says, what is wrong with you? And I said, you know what? Honestly, my friend is right there standing on that patio. And I just need to tell her I want to go home, honestly. And I can't get her to pick up her phone. And he said, why don't you just come in? It's really a good, it's jumping in there. And they got live music, everything. I was like, sir, I just want to go home. I've been at work. I don't look nice. You know, she was dressed heck of cute. Like she looked great. He was like, why can't you get in the line? I was like, sir, I'm 30 years old. I am not getting ready to get in this line. He's like, you know what? Are you by yourself? I'm just going to let you in because it is so much drama the way you are standing out here. You are making me anxious. And I was like,
wow.
So he pulls the little velvet rope back and lets me in, like in front of probably hundreds of people. I walk up to the front. And when I get to the front, this person puts their hand up and says, $5 cover.
Girl.
Cash only. Girl, I did not have not one penny at that point. Because the $4.26 that I had given to my homeboy in the parking lot. And I was just like, oh my God, why is it a $5 cover? They're like, it's live music. And now I'm like tearful. I can see her, like I can throw a rock at her head and hit her with it. I was like, would you be so kind to let me just walk over here to my friend, tell her I'm getting ready to go and then leave. This is literally the only reason I'm here. Right as the person is getting ready to say something back to me, this dude walks up and says, Kimberly, what are you doing here? I didn't know you lived in Atlanta now. And I look at him and I'm trying to place his face. And then I realize he used to date my roommate in college. And he tells the guy at the door, he's like, oh, this is my folks right here. This is my folks right here. She can come in. She's good. He said, come here. How you been doing? Did you finish medical school? What's going on? This was my college roommate's boyfriend. I say, yeah, you know, I'm here now. Blah, blah. He said, oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. Well, you know, this is, you know, I'm one of the people that manages this spot. You know, I hope you have a good time. Got live music upstairs. Walks away and doesn't say anything else to me. He doesn't want anything from me. Nothing. Now, remember now, I have come from Grady to this place. This dude hooked me up and let me park. This dude hooks me up and lets me skip the line. And now this other random dude that I knew from like 1992 lets me in without paying. Soon as I walk in, I see Lisa and she goes, oh, I saved you a chair. I know you've been trying to call me. So because I knew you were going to tell me you weren't coming.
Dang.
And I did not even want to take any calls from you. I'm so wound up from all of this and I'm almost tearful. But she was like, I knew I need to have a seat for you. And I'm even going to get you a drink. What do you want to drink? I just sit down and I'm just sitting there like with my eyes closed thinking, I just want to go home. And right when I was thinking about my departure, somebody walks up to me and says, hey, excuse me. And I look up and there's a Black man standing in front of me, a 6-foot Black man who smells like soap. And he says, I saw you standing on the sidewalk and I thought, she is beautiful. And I was like, like, really? Like, I looked to see, what is he drinking? First of all, he must be drunk. He don't seem drunk. And he says, I'm so glad you came in because it looked like you weren't coming in. And I said, I wasn't coming in. And he was like, I'm glad you came in. What's your name? I said, my name is Kimberly. He said, Kimberly, I'm Harry. I was like, Harry? Like Harry Potter? And he says, like Harry Potter. I said, like when Harry met Sally? He said, like when Harry met Sally. I said, you go by Harry? And he goes, yeah. I said, I never met a Black man named Harry. And he said, my father's name was Harry. And I was like, yikes. So I say, where are you from, Harry? Harry says, I'm from Cleveland. I said, Cleveland? Cleveland, Tennessee? He said, no, Cleveland, Ohio. I said, you're shitting me. I just moved here from Cleveland. And he's like, yeah, I'm from Cleveland. So then I realize I like the way he's looking at me and talking to me. I think he smells good and he seems nice. And then I think I want to just sit here and talk to him tonight. He seems really nice, but he realizes that I just got here. So then he, you know, says a few kind things, but then he reaches into his pocket, takes out a card, writes his cell phone number on the back of it. He says, I'm not going to hover over you in a club because that's rude. But this is my phone number and I would love to, you know, take you out sometime and maybe have dinner and get to know you. But if not, it was really nice meeting you. And he walks away.
Wow.
And I am sitting here looking at myself with this denim jacket on, with these shards of hair all over me, these wedges on, and these chinos from the Gap, no makeup, hair done now. The hair was right. But other than that, I was like, all the times that I've gone out and I've done so much to my appearance to try to look a certain way, the furthest thing from my mind was meeting anybody. Furthermore, I was absolutely sure, especially after the dude told me I'm gonna be single for the rest of my life, I believed him. And I was sitting there and I was just like, wow, that was pretty cool. So then I'm watching him and I'm realizing that he looks very confident. People are talking to him. All the women in the room seem to look like Beyonce. And I'm like, he is gonna meet somebody tonight. He's going to meet somebody other than me. Oh my God. This is why I'm unlucky in love, because I really never had no game. So I take my phone out, my flip phone. I open it up right there in the martini bar, 5 minutes after I met Harry, and called the number on the back of the card.
While both of y'all are still in the club.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And he answers the phone and he's like, hello. And I say, hi, Harry. And he goes, hey. I said, hey, this is Kimberly. I met you in the martini bar on Friday. And he was like, Kimberly, you met me in the martini bar on Friday? What? I was like, Yeah, you told me, you know, you saw me standing on the street, you gave me your card. And he looks up and I'm got my phone to my ear and I waved at him. And I said, you said to call you and that, you know, if I wanted to, you know, get to know you or something like that. So I just decided I didn't want to forget. And so I decided to call you now. He's like, you know, this should really turn me off. But something about this is really cute. He says, okay, Kimberly, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, well, I have to work. But then when I get off of work, I'm not doing anything. I get off of work at about 5:30. He says, okay, well, let's meet somewhere. And he came up with a place for us to meet. And we say, set a time. And then he hung up. And I decided then, I was like, oh my God, he smells good and he seems nice. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna find out that he's got like a wife and four kids and one on the way and something like that. But the next day we go out. And when I got home, I walked into my condo, closed the door behind me, took my phone out, called my father, and said, I have met my husband.
Wow.
I have met my husband. I'm sure this is the man I'm going to marry. Because I had never met anybody who made me feel as safe as that other than my father, which is why my father was the person that I called first. Now, the thing is, there were so many things that could have stopped me from going at that moment. There were so many things. I have been set up by so many people throughout my adult life, and it never worked. And the beauty of this story is, if you are unlucky in love, I assure you, you were not unluckier in love than I was at that time. And if you are somebody who is not partnered and who absolutely feels certain that this is never going to work out for you, if it worked out for me, it is hope for anybody. And that there is somebody somewhere who is looking all over for you. Like your quirky, your like intellectual curiosity, your talents, your gifts, your things that make you laugh, all of those things will be their jam. So shout out to Destiny. I really feel like, you know, I like almost feel like I wish I could just go back and thank my hairdresser for making my hair cute that day because Harry said, you know, and that was Sakina. Shout out to Sakina.
Shout
But he
out to
said,
Sakina.
Sakina, he said he saw my hair first. Shout out to the brother in the parking lot who hooked his girl up for the $4.25 parking space. Shout out to the brother who was the bouncer who saw me anxious on the corner and let me in. And shout out to the homie who let me in for free without the cover charge, just because I knew his ex girlfriend.
Well, I'd like to give a specific shout out to Lisa, because when I talk about friends who know you well enough to know when you're trying to get out of something, I was just like, I would have driven up and kept going. She knew exactly what to do.
Well, the thing is, because Lisa is such a good friend to me, that she wouldn't do that to me. She would not do that to me. Like, if I was expecting her somewhere and she couldn't get me on the phone, she would have come. She would not have just gotten home and said, you know, I was trying to call you, but that is just not the kind of friend she is. I mean, so one of the things I always say about Lisa is that she taught me how to be a better friend, because of the way she is a friend to me. So yeah, I do. I really firmly think, you know, in addition to Destiny, right? I owe that chance meeting with Harry to her. And I'm saying this because there are a lot of people who, you know, feel like they might not ever find any sort of meaningful relationship, or you're on dating apps, or you're getting set up by people and it just never quite works out. But the thing is, you're only looking for one person. You really are. And one of the things that Harry said shortly after we met was, if you want to know whether you're going to wear short sleeves or long sleeves, all you got to do is open the front door, step outside, and it's either sunshine or it's not. And if it's sunshine, you know it. And if it's not, it's not. And the same can be said about people, and not just romantic partnerships, friends too. Sometimes you meet people and it's sunshine. And you want to stand in it. Sometimes it's not. And you close the door and you, or you put your coat on and you stay away. But yeah, that is how Harry met Kimberly.
I love that story. I'm actually the unluckiest person in love. You know, I actually don't talk a lot about dating and romance, and I think in part because, admittedly, like that's a part of my life where I've known a lot of shame and fear and heartache. And I think I've at various times, like yesterday, come to the conclusion that, you know, maybe I just need to learn to be with myself. But I think that's stemmed from just, you know, trying to avoid more hurt. I mean, stories like this give me a lot of encouragement, at least in the sense that I think that there is plenty of life to be lived outside of looking for partnership. And at the same time, like being open to showing up in spaces where you might not normally show up and finding the folks who aren't turned off by your desire to spend hours in the library reading about stars and planets. But I mean, hearing you talk about your marriage with Harry and y'all's kids, you know, it's really inspiring how you guys have grown together and just been open and honest. And, you know, I just personally didn't see a lot of that growing up.
Yeah, you know, by no stretch am I perfect or is Harry perfect, but you know, we sort of strive for this perfect imperfection together. And I do think that any long-term relationship is a series of forgiving each other over and over and over and over again. And I realized actually that that also needed to happen with me. I needed to forgive myself for not having had a big poofy wedding dress and 2.5 kids by the time I was 30, and to be really absolutely okay with sitting in the joy that was the privileged life that I had been given, and to really be cool with me. You know, I think that if I had still been a little more insecure, I would have never gone into that space with what I had on. I would have been much, much too self-conscious about my appearance. But I had realized that it was going to take something supernatural and divine for me to meet somebody who I would actually find interesting enough to be around all the time. I just like a part of it was the them parts, but part of it was the me parts. I'm like, I'm really smart. I really like myself. And I'm not going to let you treat me bad. And I'm also not going to sit there and just listen to you just drone on about you and not care about me. I'm like, I'm not doing none of that. So that might make me hard to be with, but it turns out there are people who want the same thing.
Yeah, I love that.
Hey, can I just say one other thing that I do have? People say this to me all the time. They're like, I want to know Ashley. I feel like she's my friend too now. People that listen to our podcast. And I was like, yeah, she is actually even cooler than she sounds on the podcast.
Hope so, because I know I don't sound very cool.
I believe that us getting to do this for 44 plus one episodes is also destiny. I'm so glad that our meeting lined up as it did. And I'm so glad that Emily Silverman reconnected us to work on Black Voices. But I'm just really grateful that we were sort of obedient to that pull and realized there was sunshine when we stepped outside.
Amen. Yes. And I do believe in destiny for that reason.
And Destiny Roseman, we believe in you too.
Yes. Shout out to Dr. Roseman. This episode is for you too, sis.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So I love you. And y'all, we will get up with y'all in season four.
That wraps up this week's episode of the Human Doctor Podcast.
Special thanks to our favorite brother gastroenterologist, Dr. Chuma Obiname, for the beats. Shout out to the Dr. Ashley McMullen for editing and production.
Mad love to our podcast family at The Nocturnist and the Clinical Problem Solvers, our Med Twitter fam.
And especially shout out to all of you, our listeners.
Until next week, remember,
we see you and you are enough. Holla!